Now the epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time, behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed, but in all things let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in prisons, in seditions, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in longsuffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the most renowned saints, my dear faithful, who arose during the Protestant Reformation was St. Ignatius of Loyola. He and his army of Jesuits battled against the errors that Luther and his followers spread. However, if you had met St. Ignatius as a young man, it would have been hard to imagine that this young man would become so great a saint. Ignatius Loyola was a soldier in the Spanish army, and he fought with distinction for his country. He was Catholic, but he was not so staunch in the practice of his faith. When all was said and done, he had a far greater concern for his military career, as well as dreams of chivalrous romance. What changed Ignatius of Loyola, the worldly soldier, into St. Ignatius, the champion of Christ and his church? His conversion began with the simplest of things, pious reading. Here's how it happens. During his first campaign, Ignatius Loyola was wounded while heroically defending a castle from the invading French army. He leapt into a breach in one of the castle walls, holding back the enemy almost by himself. He held them at bay for some time until a cannonball struck him and shattered his thigh bone. Soon after he fell, though, the soldiers lost heart. The battle was lost. Ignatius was captured, but then he was returned to his home, the castle of the Loyola family. Confined to his bed by his broken leg for many months, he asked for books to read to entertain himself, hoping for novels of chivalry and romance. However, the only books that could be found were The Life of Christ and The Lives of the Saints. Since he had nothing better to do, Ignatius picked them up and began to read. In the months that followed, as he read more and more of the heroic acts of, not of chivalry, or honor, or great renown, but of sanctity, the question came to Ignatius, why them and not me? What stops me from being a saint, just as these women and men were before me? If they can do it, then why can't I? As God's grace worked on his soul, the soldier resolved that, once he recovered, he would give his life to God's service and abandon his worldly pursuits. From that humble beginning, the man called Saint Ignatius was born. And within 20 years, he founded the Company of Jesus, or more commonly called the Jesuits. And by the end of his life, they numbered in the hundreds and were trooping throughout Europe, bringing back the light of faith where it had been shrouded by the darkness of Protestantism. Saint Ignatius, my dear faithful, was truly an incredible man. He was not afraid to strive to imitate the greatest saints. He was not afraid to strive to practice heroic virtue and bear crosses for the love of God. He determined to act as St. Paul instructed in today's epistle. In today's epistle, we read that St. Paul urged the Corinthians to show themselves as ministers of Christ, which is to say, to show themselves as servants of Christ, and thus to be true Christians. He lists the virtues they must practice and the crosses they may have to bear. Just looking at the virtues he lists, true Christians must be prepared to love God in much patience, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in charity unfeigned. And we are to do this in tribulation, in distresses, in labor, and in fasting. What all that means, my dear faithful, for us, as well as the Corinthians to whom St. Paul is writing, what that means is we are not to be mediocre. God calls each and every one of us to be saints, just as St. Ignatius was. And when are we to begin? Now is the acceptable time, St. Paul tells us. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Not only does God demand that we practice virtue and preserve sanctifying grace in our souls, but he longs for us to be heroic in doing his will. And the present moment, right now, is when we must strive for this, taking each moment, one at a time. What all this entails, the great effort we are to give, our fallen human nature shrinks at the thought of it. And that is why the Church gives us this epistle at the beginning of Lent, to remind us that we are not made for this world, but for heaven, and all that we must do to get there. The passing goods of this world, even those that are good of themselves, we must be ready to give them up for the love of God and the salvation of our soul, especially if such things are persons who are leading us away from God and towards sin, or are material things that are tools of damnation in the hands of the devil. But, my dear faithful, it is comforting to know that others have done exactly this before us. And as St. Ignatius asked himself, if they can do it, then why can't I? The saints were men and women with the same fallen human nature that we have. They faced the same struggles to practice virtue that we face. And yet, they did it. They too were tempted to sloth, to impurity, to pride, and all the other vices. As St. Francis de Sales put it, what might we not do if we look at such excellent patrons? They were what we are. They did this for the same God and for the same virtues. Why then should we not do as much according to our position and vocation in life? We do not need to found a religious order. We don't need to leave everything and become a hermit or die a martyr's death in order to become a saint, let alone save our souls for heaven. We do not need to do anything extraordinary to be a saint. We need only to strive to do the ordinary things with extraordinary efforts. That is, to do the duties of our state in life with a persevering generosity, charity, and patience. Yes, for love of God, we must ever strive to obey His commandments, especially His commandments of charity and holy purity. There is a story, my dear faithful, of St. Thomas Aquinas, one of the greatest doctors and teachers of the Church, explaining how to become a saint. You see, his sister had come for a visit, and she asked him, "What is the greatest means of becoming a saint?" St. Thomas, this master of theologians who had written so many works, he answered her question in two words. He said, "Will it?" That, my dear faithful, is the only difference between us and the saints. They truly and sincerely willed it, and they persevered in this, even though it meant self-denial, patient suffering of trials and contradictions, and carrying their cross through many temptations. When we find it difficult, then, let us look to the saints and be encouraged, motivated by their example, ever mindful that they too struggled, they too suffered, they too were tempted. St. Ignatius Loyola, he found it hard to give up his dreams of honor and romance. St. Camillus de Lillis, he fought to beat down his temper for many years. St. Therese of the Child Jesus, known for her sweetness, she struggled nonetheless to be charitable and cheerful with her neighbor. The example of the saints should be such an encouragement to us. They have denied themselves, they took up their cross, and they followed Christ. And they never stopped following Christ, no matter how difficult and dark it became. Let us, my dear faithful, do the same. Let us strive to deny ourselves, especially as we begin this holy season of Lent. Let us obey the laws of God and patiently suffer the trials and contradictions of life, even as we pray to the saints to help us, especially the Queen of all saints, our most pure and immaculate Mother. Pray that she and all our friends in heaven obtain for us the grace to do this and to persevere in doing this. Strive then, my dear faithful, to become truly saints. Will it as did St. Ignatius, St. Thomas Aquinas, and all the other saints in heaven. And strive this Lent, my dear faithful, for now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.